The following contest is scheduled for one fall. Please welcome Mr. Freds.
It's Friday, y'all, and you know exactly what that means. And if you don't know, you're about to find out. Because it's time to listen to the classiest Canadian I know. It's time for the Fretzelmania podcast right here on Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast.
What is up, folks? Welcome to episode 140. Of the Fretzelmania podcast. I am the North American treasure, your second favorite Canadian, Mr. Fretz. It is the dawn of a new millennium. The year 2000 is finally here. And we here at Wrestle Addict Radio are Y2K compliant. So all that is good there. We have a rather historic episode of Raw. Triple H challenges the Big Show for the WWE title, and the McMahon-Helmsley regime continues their reign of terror, not that one, on the WWE. Stay tuned. And as is tradition, we are going grapple surfing to see what else is going on in the world of wrestling on January 3rd, 2000. Same night as this Monday Night Raw broadcast, we have Nitro. From the Bylow Center in Greenville, South Carolina, continuing the Lethal Lottery Tag Team Tournament match, which is going to conclude tonight. The Harris Twins beat Buzzkill and Mike Rotunda. Kevin Nash and Scott Steiner beat PG-13. Crowbar and David Flair beat Lash LaRue and Midnight. Tank Abbott beat Lex Luger by DQ in just under a minute, probably a good old Russo schmoz, speaking of tradition. Buff Bagwell and who better than Chris Kanyon beat Asia and Norman Smiley. Nash and Steiner beat the Harris Twins. Crowbar and David Flair beat Buff Bagwell and Vampiro. Where was Kanyon? I'm not even going to get into that one. Sid Vicious beat Jeff Jarrett by DQ in a U.S. title match, which was also a powerbomb match. What's with these? I saw this match type before going into Nitro. I don't get it. And shockingly, in the finals of the tag team championship Lethal Lottery, Crowbar and David Flair beat Nash and Steiner to win the vacant tag team titles. I don't remember Crowbar and David Flair winning the tag titles, honestly, and I still was watching WCW. I actually watched it pretty much until its bitter end, a year from this point, but good for them. SmackDown, the couple of days after this one, taped, I think, the night after this episode of Raw, which is going to spoil something from this episode, but you should know by now what happened. So we have X-Pac defeating the Big Show by DQ. The Holly Cousins beat Chris Jericho and Chyna. The Acolytes beat Billy Gunn by DQ in a handicap match. Kane beat the Road Dog. Kurt Angle continues his undefeated streak by beating The Rock by disqualification. Christian Edge and Jeff Hardy beat Al Snow and the Dudleys. Test beat the Big Boss Man. Non-title hardcore championship was not on the line. Ty and Ty Funaki and Taka Michinoku. Indeed. I think this is the start of their dubbed, possibly offensive gimmick, yet still extremely entertaining. They beat the Mean Street Posse in a handicap match. And Rikishi beat WWE Champion Triple H by DQ in the main event. So that means tonight on Raw, spoiler, Triple H wins the title, but y'all know by now. So January 3rd, 2000, Raw takes place from Miami, Florida, the hometown of The Rock, who kicks off this show. The Rock has a new book out this week, The Rock says. And commentary is hoping that it becomes the bestseller, like Have a Nice Day. In Ron Howard voice, it wasn't. Finally, The Rock has come back home. Home of the Miami Dolphins, of Ziggy Marley, The Rock's family, the millions and millions of Rock's fans. 1,000 years from now, in the year 3000, when historians look back at the year 2000, or when the Planet Express crew goes back in time and finds it, they will hear the sound that encompasses this millennium, and that is the fans chanting Rocky's name. Or what? Or yes. Or yeah. Or meet. Or no. Or this is awesome. Or insert other annoying wrestling chant here. There's a sign in the crowd that made me immediately open my Bible, because it said Deuteronomy 13:4, which says in the NASB version, North American Standard something, The Rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, righteous and just is he. So I guess this person was saying that The Rock is perfect. Yeah, I get it. I get it. And The Rock has a New Year's resolution to be the best damn WWE champion there ever was. But first, I have an issue. Mick Foley. The Rock realizes that you gave 15 years to this business, and the way that you were fired is the biggest piece of monkey crap The Rock has ever seen. Speaking of monkey crap, Triple H. If you have a shred of hair on your ass, you will come face me one-on-one and grab the Brahma bull by the horns so I can take those horns, stick them sideways, and shove them straight up your candy ass. Triple H comes out with white shirt Stephanie. Shout out to Mr. YLP, whom I was interacting with this weekend. I am just a man. I am merely just a man. And then King says, hey, they're chanting his name. Asshole. I did not know Triple H wrestled under that name. You learn something new every day. Triple H says, like, I passed an old lady in the back. Well, I'm not doing this the whole time. She wants her jacket back. The Rock, of course, wearing one of his lovely $800 shirts. Triple H says that I'd love to beat you, but I have bigger fish to fry. Like you, I too have a resolution. It is similar to yours. But I'm going to make that resolution come true tonight when I become the WWE champion for a third time. Triple H then books a new first in the WWE, a handicap you're fired match, where The Rock will go 1-on-3 with D-Generation X. And if anyone interferes, they will be fired on the spot. Remember this. The Rock asks, who are my opponents? And before Triple H could answer, it doesn't matter, of course. And then in Triple H, in the funniest part of the whole night, I think, calls the fans Pavlov's dogs and says, "Oh, yeah, yeah. Good on you for barking when they ring the bell." And then they begin barking, crowd does. Can of Coke, this big tall boy of Coke to you guys. That was phenomenal. And then, of course, DX comes down for the post-match beatdown. Our first match tonight is Too Cool with Rikishi versus the Dudley Boys, who have their non-pyro-pyro entrance theme. The recap of SmackDown, where the Dudley Boys helped the Mean Street Posse jump the Acolytes. And speaking of the Mean Street Posse, they come out to ringside here to watch this match, instantly giving this show another star rating. We see a skull-crushing finale by Grandmaster Sexay, the Bulldog, the Worm, which is starting to get really over by now. Devon hits a stun gun on Scotty, and then King with one of the lines of the night saying that Scotty's hair is on Viagra. No comment there, King. And the steel cage here is hanging over the ring, and I was watching this show on Monday, and this is the point where my internet cut out for approximately 9 hours, so I didn't get to do anything until I'm recording this on Wednesday. And if you're hearing this, I will be on the Kings of the Rings podcast tonight, I think. Just by the end of the week, you'll know if I am or not. So shout out to all that crew there. We see Scotty with a Brett's Rope Lariat, a double Spagingo, that body drop, ding, is reversed into a double DDT by Grandmaster. The Posse come into the ring, to ringside, they jump Rikishi, and the Acolytes chase the sweater vest wearing pricks out of the arena and out of my hearts. Bubba with a jackknife on Grandmaster Sexay, the Was Up headbutt is denied. Rikishi super kicks Bubba, and we have a disqualification, Kishi driver on Devon, and a dance-off. The Acolytes promise revenge on the Mean Street Posse. And they said that, yeah, we can even beat those lads with one hand tied behind our back. Stephanie watches this. And it gives her an idea. An idea for a match we're going to see later on. Steve Blackman walks into the McMahon Helms the office here, and Triple H says, like, hey, you disobeyed my order last week. So tonight, Kane's going one-on-one with Kurt Angle. And if you hit Kane with a kendo stick, you're fired. Remember this. Actually, remember this now. As good as my short-term memory is, we have Kane versus Kurt Angle coming up next. WrestleMania 18 has traveled back in time to the year 2000. Triple H is adding another resolution to his list here. He's going to be the champ, and he's going to make sure that Kurt's undefeated streak ends. We see a recap here before the match of Tori being scared by Test and Rock, and Kane being the savior that he is by sticking up for his girl and beating them down. Angle comes down to the ring cutting a promo saying that he has an advantage against a big man who's 340 pounds. I'm the heavy favorite. Kane hides behind a mask. He lacks integrity and intelligence. But you make up for it in intensity, but you don't have all three eyes together like I do. So this match here is just a schmoz. We get a big boot, a flying lariat, a missed elbow by Kane, top rope nothing by Kurt Angle, into a goozle for a choke slam, and he signals for the tombstone. Out comes Steve Blackman, who teases hitting Kane, which would get him fired, but instead, he hits Kurt Angle on the head, disqualification, Kurt wins and continues his undefeated streak. By disqualification, of course. Triple H backstage asks Steph, did you talk to Steve at any point after I did? No, but wait till you see what I have in store for the Intercontinental Championship. Stephanie McMahon comes down to the ring here with Jimmy Corderas, Tim White, and Chad Patton, two of which I would probably put on the referee Mount Rushmore with Nick Patrick and Earl Hebner. Now, there was a bit on SmackDown where Chyna and Chris Jericho had a match. There was like a suplex or something, and there was a double pin. Both of their shoulders were on the mat, and both wrestlers come down here. Stephanie asks the referees who won. They couldn't come to anything conclusive. So Stephanie makes the historic decision to make Chris Jericho and Chyna dual Intercontinental Champions. Only one of them can defend this title at a time, and if one of you lose, you both lose, and you lose the title. Hardcore Harley immediately comes down to the ring here, demanding a title shot, because he has been up in their grill for the past several weeks on TV, which we lead into Bob Holly versus Chyna for the IC title. Chris Jericho is on commentary, giving us a sneak peek of his fantastic commentary skills on AEW Dynamite some 20 years after this. He says, this is a travesty. I am the champion. This is a conspiracy from the front office and the McMahon-Helmsley era. In the ring, Bob Holly with one of the best drop kicks in the business. Chyna is sent over the top rope. Sunset flip is denied. The referee is distracted by Miss Kitty. Chris Jericho hits Bob. Sunset is complete. No Aloha Iron tonight. And still, Intercontinental Champion and Chris leaves with the title. Backstage, the Big Boss Man and Albert are booked in a match against Test and partners of the McMahon-Helmsley era's choosing. And next up here, we have Big Show versus Triple H for the WWE title in the middle of the show. I don't know why they wouldn't save this for the main event, but here we are. We see a recap of everything that's been going on lately. Michael Cole tries to get a word in on the Big Show, but is denied. Triple H tells DX to stay at the ramp for this one. And this match, of course, is a schmoz. Big Show beels Triple H over the ringside ramp onto ringside. Show is sent into the steps. See the facebuster, the Harley Race knee, chokeslam, but Triple H's foot is on the ropes. Big Show climbs to Brett's rope for an elbow drop, but is denied. Pedigree is reversed into the Spagingo back body drop. DX come down to the ring here, distract the referee while Triple H lands the low blow and the pedigree to win the WWE Championship once again, for fuck's sakes. We see pyro and green and black balloons rain down from the ceiling while D-Generation X hoists their fearless leader up in celebration. Oh, this is where the McHelmsley regime really begins to twist the knife. Next up is Test and Question Mark versus Bossman and Albert. This is a handicap 3-on-2 tag team match because Test's partners are the Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young. And despite how you may feel about the late Fabulous Moolah, both her and Mae are tougher than everyone in that ring. And it's also kind of sad that Albert is the only one remaining out of that whole crew of people. Tess then just grabs his undashing Cody Rhodes nose protector mask. Just, oh, for God's sake, here we go again. Woe is me. And then Mae gets the Bronco Buster on the Boss Man, who then takes both of the ladies down. Tess gets double teamed. He goes for a flying elbow drop, but is denied by a nightstick shot by the Boss Man. An Albert scissor kick wins this match. We see an attempted post-match beatdown, but Mark Henry makes the save. and Harvey Whippleman then gets tossed around by the baddies. Tess makes the save for him, and Moolah carries Harvey backstage. Backstage, DX celebrate while the Big Show leaves the arena angry, and DX point and laugh at the TV screen. Next up, this is just a ongoing. This show just doesn't stop to breathe. You got the Acolytes versus the Posse, where the Acolytes have their hand tied behind their back. And immediately the Dudley Boys jump in for a DQ. You get a Bubba Ray chair shot on Bradshaw, and to quote Tom Campbell on his classic reviews, it was a setup all along. Stephanie, backstage, tries on the WWE Championship, and in her mind, I bet she is thinking, wow, I could be the centerpiece of the women's division with a title here. I don't have a think on that. We hear a drum roll. Out comes my boy, Howard Finkel, to the ringside here. The Generation X proudly presents the epic film of a bad day. Oh, it's the DX skits with Midian dressed as Mankind and Triple H in outrageous and borderline offensive jokey costumes. This time he's wearing the mustache with the big poofy fake nose, where Mick is at the unemployment office. Triple H is a worker named Harry Sachs. Harry Sachs. That's literally the premise of a Beavis and Butthead episode where they get the phone book and prank call a man named Harry Sachs. Good stuff, Trips. And he asks, what skills do you have? Well, I can jump off a cage through a table. I can take 37 chair shots in a row. And then he repeats himself with the chair shots bit. And then he is called horrible. The WWE got rid of you. You killed the product. You're a Muppet. You no. I have a family to look after here. Oh, woe is me. And we end here because, spoiler alert, there's going to be more to this skit. Next up here is Jeff Hardy versus Al Snow in a steel cage. For reasons. I don't know why these two draw the short straw for the cage. I'd have saved that for the handicap you're fired match or for the championship match. But sometimes the Attitude Era, as great as parts of it are, does not make sense. I swear to God, Vince Russo is a double agent at this point in time. He has to be. And then Terry and the Hardy Boys, the winners of the tit, or Terry's tits, or whichever, must be cold in that arena tonight. It must be cold in Miami. I mean, it's January. It's probably still kind of nice, but your air conditioner might just be turned on just a little bit. And tonight, Monday Night Raw is brought to you by Castrol GTX, Burger King, and PhoneFree.com. Free long-distance calls over the internet. Is this a precursor to Skype? Is this the precursor to the thing that I'm going to be using later today on another podcast? I don't get it. I see all around ringside, there are popped balloons everywhere. You dorks have not cleaned up the mess yet. You're leaving this for the ring crew as a rib, aren't you? Bunch of pricks. So Al slams the door onto Jeff's head, brings a chair and Terry into the ring, and chains the door shut. Why are you leaving Terry in the ring? Because she doesn't do anything but stand there and act scared while two large men wrestle around her. So we see a whisper in the wind by Jeff, a leg drop to the balls. Matt tries to get Terry out. Jeff tries to get Terry out, but is still trapped. Al tries to remove the turnbuckle, but to no avail. Al gets a chair and teases hitting Terry with it. Matt begins to climb, and in a spot that made me cringe really, really hard, Matt's fingers are smashed with the chair through the grates of the cage, and I can just imagine the arthritic pain that would have shot through his hands. I think Matt is working hurt, which is why Jeff's working tonight and Matt's not working SmackDown after this. Al tries in one of the most ugly spots I've ever seen. Al and Jeff are standing on the third rope and Jeff is on the top of the cage. Now, I thought this was going to be some kind of superplex or even a super cage cutter. But the way that they landed in this botch, it looked like Jeff took a BFT or that snapmare driver that Jon Moxley used to use early in his WWE run. Oh, and it was right on the chair, too, that was in the ring. How did Jeff finish this match? How was his neck not broken? Like, that was ugly. If you want to go back and watch anything from this show, watch this cage match and just look at that bump. It was rough. So Al Snow alley-oops Jeff Hardy, you know, the powerbomb alley-oop that Big Show used to use. Jeff with a Spagingo, and Al snake-eyes Jeff into the cage. And then Jeff just climbs out and escapes, but Terry is still in the cage. Then Terry tries to escape, tries to jump over the cage. Al grabs her, brings her down, and we saw all of, like, Terry's skirt here. It was just for the gratuitous thong shot. That's what all this was for. They try to save Terry. Terry does eventually get out. Matt Hardy comes into the cage, beats down Al, brings Terry out. Fans begin to boo. Weird. Just weird. And apparently this was a setup for Al to get a bonus by DX, a Christmas bonus in New Year's. But because he didn't get the job done, he does not get the bonus. We then hear the drum roll. We see Fink again.
Have a bad day, part two.
And it's Triple H in, oh boy, stereotypical squinty Asian eyes, stereotype glasses, stupid wig, bad English or Ingrish, if you will. And we're at a children's hospital. And then in his Ingrish accent, Triple H's like, oh no, you were fired. You suck. You're a fat loser. He karate chops Mankind and Midian and says, never mess with Hong Lo. Then we see part three being set up here where Mankind Midian is at a book signing. Backstage, The Rock is talking to the Stooges for some reason, and the Stooges are acting like they're going to miss The Rock. It's like, why are you in my locker room and why are you talking like this? The Rock is going to kick their candy ass. And here comes Have a Bad Day, part three. And his book signing is doing worse business than Virgil at the wrestling cons. And that was the joke. That was it. We're setting up for something truly special, but man, this build is yikes on a bike. I'll say that. And speaking of yikes on a bike, we have DX versus The Rock in a handicap, you're fired match. I have regrets about going back in time here. And Triple H says, oh, by the way, it's no DQ for reasons. We see an extended beatdown in a schmoz with The Rock trying to get his hope spots in. X-Pac is crushed into the post and The Rock tries to get moves in on DX. We see more of a beatdown and someone makes the save. It is Mick Foley himself who chairs everyone rock bottom to Billy, and The Rock wins and stays employed. And because Mick Foley interfered, he is fought. Oh. Wait. Mick Foley has already been fired. But why are you allowed back in the arena? We're just going to have to wait and see how that goes. And y'all are going to have to wait until next year, because this here, folks, was my last retro podcast of the year. My next two are going to be breaking down my top 10 matches of the year, bringing back Fretz's Fave 5 for the occasion. And then there'll be the holidays off. Maybe something for New Year's, but we'll have to cross that bridge when we get there. So thank you very much, folks, for listening. Apologies if I sound off. I'm a little tired. I'm recording this in the morning, a snowy, cold, sobble morning. So you can follow me on all the social medias, from Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, whenever I'm on those ones, at Fretzelmania, FRETZLE Mania. This podcast is on Wrestle Addict Radio. Say it with me, kids. The cure for the common wrestling podcast. We have merch just in time for the holidays. We got a Discord. We all shoot the breeze and have a good time. A big shout out to Nate the Effing Great and Mr. YLP for joining me for our Survivor Series watch along on Discord. It was a good time. And because I have a satellite dish and I have a more direct feed, I was way ahead during Survivor Series, so during CM Punk's return, I was extremely quiet until the domino fell to Nate and then to Zach. It was truly a good time. So you get to shoot the shit and do that kind of stuff with us if you join our Discord. I also highly suggest our Patreon. Hasn't been updated in a little while. There's still some great content that is still locked behind that $5 window. So until next time, folks, TTFN, ta-ta for now, and keep your stick on the ice.
This has been a Wrestle Addict Radio branded podcast.